I thought it was like nursery kid music. I don't even know what it is.
I'm just imagining like the panic of the person. I'll stop it now. The panic of the person like managing the live stream, just like quickly finding Twitch soundtrack or something, and double clicking the first track that they see.
What's on my desktop? Oh, my kid's nursery music. Use it quick. Whatever's around. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Gaming Careers Podcast. I'm here once again with Pete, as always. Pete, how's it going today, man? How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. How are you?
Good. For a Tuesday morning at 6 a.m., can't be too bad. We have quite a bit of news to go through this week, guys. First of all, we have Twitch launching some new potential programs, which is pretty exciting. BlizzCon happened, and some funny moments from that related to Twitch and how that was streamed. There was also a new Gaming Careers video that came out, so we'll touch on that piece. Plus the rover landing on Mars that was streamed on many places like Twitch and YouTube. Some record viewership for games like CSGO and Valheim. And of course, viewer questions at the end. So to kick things off, I think the first thing we can talk about is Twitch is potentially launching a sports accelerator program. So this is basically, there was an email that went out and was on Twitter. It looks like Twitch is sort of trying to incentivize new breakout areas on Twitch. So we talked about how non-gaming areas are on the rise on Twitch, right? And so basically it looks as if they want more sports streamers to come to Twitch and stream in that category. And they'll kind of incentivize them with some payouts and things like that to sweeten the pot sort of sports streaming. And I there's some question on whether it's legit. I think it does look legit based on what I've seen and what makes sense for Twitch, but I don't know, that's my thoughts. Pete, did you see this?
Yeah, and I don't think this is the first time that Twitch have run a scheme like this. They're basically trying to, like you said, popularize categories outside of just gaming by inviting certain creators to stream on Twitch with an incentive. And in this case, or at least the screenshots from the emails that we saw, the incentive seemed to be like a cash payout, minimum monthly payout. So as long as you're meeting certain requirements of streaming a certain number of hours and it's in the category, in this case, like sports, then you'd meet the requirements and earn the money. It's interesting to think about, are they trying here to get certain creators onto streaming on Twitch, or are they trying to grow that specific category? Because it depends really who they target these like emails out to, and how they even get the email addresses. Like, you'd presume that these people have already heard of Twitch and signed up in some way, but it could be just a cold outreach email to somebody that works in sports that maybe has like a YouTube channel and they then want them to start streaming on Twitch. Mm-hmm. You get me?
Yeah. And I think, like you mentioned, this has probably happened for other people before. It does seem like it would be best for people who are already streamers, but maybe there's some influencers out there on Instagram or YouTube who are doing stuff in the sports category and they want to kind of get them to come over. So, but it says it requires you to be an affiliate to be part of the program. So I would think that you have to have some streaming experience for this. My guess is people who have maybe tried sports streaming, or maybe just like large creators who they think would be good sports creators in some way. I don't know exactly who's getting it. We didn't see who got this. It was kind of an anonymous source, but I think it's pretty cool to see they're doing this to incentivize that. I know they've kind of done that with like podcasts before and things in the past too. So maybe we'll see like cooking people get this. I bet you there are other programs who have gotten this kind of thing. It just hasn't really been shared before. So I'm curious to see what other areas they do this with. But all in all, I think it's a cool program. And if it is true, which I think it is, I think it's very cool that they're doing this. Any other thoughts on this, Pete?
Yeah, I think it's basically Twitch is realizing, and they've realized this for probably years now, that it's going to be much more than just gaming, live streaming in general. And we see that with you know YouTube. You see lots of different variety of what people are streaming, and I think sports is going to be huge. Like, sports is massive on YouTube. There are, you know, Sunday league football teams that run their own YouTube channel and film their own games, and they get huge followings of people wanting to tune in every week and see, you know, how the score went and, you know, what little bust ups there were with the referee and all those kind of things. So I think it's going to have a massive place in live streaming. So Twitch clearly wants to grow that part of their catalog, so it makes a lot of sense. And for creators, like you said, it's probably targeting some smaller like affiliate streamers, but I can see it being massive. You know, the whole gym scene on Instagram is like absolutely unreal, and soon as that starts to come over to live streaming, you know, people having live streams in their own gyms, I just think it's going to be like massive. There's so much information to be shared there, and so I think a massive audience of people that want to watch it as well. I think this kind of nicely transitions into what we saw with the Mars rover landing, because that is not gaming. That's not an esport or anything like that. But it had huge audiences, particularly on YouTube. I watched it actually on Twitch, and I thought, whoa, it's hit 180,000 viewers on Twitch. And then later I saw a tweet from Fwiz, who is like the YouTube gaming director, I think, saying that there was over 3 million live concurrent viewers watching the Perseverance rover land on Mars on YouTube. I think they had a few different streams, I presume for a few different languages. So that was, you know, adding up all the different streams, but still, like, that's crazy numbers. And admittedly so, like, people do want to watch this, and I'm sure this was shown on traditional television as well as like NASA's website and things like that. But the fact that even on YouTube you're getting 3 million live concurrent viewers, and the difference, I think, is the big thing there. The difference between 3 million on YouTube and just 180,000 on Twitch shows that there's a massive market of people that don't know about Twitch, and as soon as they see a live stream on YouTube, click it, and then really found that interesting.
Yeah, I think the other thing is a lot of brand channels are on YouTube where they haven't really moved to Twitch yet. So I don't know exactly who was streaming this event, but I would guess NASA was streaming this on YouTube and some other news category sites, things like that, that are kind of where you go to for big, you know, worldwide news like this happening, where you don't really have a NASA channel on Twitch streaming this, to my knowledge, or that sort of thing. So I think even like SpaceX, that kind of thing, right? That's usually been on YouTube versus Twitch. So if you have the official channel that's doing the thing on the platform, it's probably going to have more viewership there. The other piece is, like you said, I think a lot of people don't know about Twitch yet as much, and they don't go. I actually was same with you. I went to Twitch to watch this because I like seeing the reaction of people, and Twitch chat following the event is really fascinating to me. But I think like for general news, for even like if you're looking at links for stuff online, if a news article is talking about, you know, watch the Mars rover landing here, it's always going to link to YouTube generally versus Twitch, because of, you know, you can have like a start time for that on YouTube and a countdown, and, you know, you get very clean landing page just for that event versus Twitch. If you're linking to a streamer, it could be anything and it could be live whenever. So I think for brand purposes, it probably makes more sense for YouTube. So I'm not really surprised it's that much bigger. But still kind of cool to see these on either platform for big worldwide news like this, or out of this world news in this case. And I thought it was super cool to see. So hopefully we'll see more stuff move to Twitch. It'd be cool to see if NASA or SpaceX or these channels do have their own official channels on Twitch too in the future. And there's some sort of like special chat experience there too. It could be really cool. So we'll see if that happens. I'm not sure if we'll see it.
The live stream actually on Twitch was on a NASA official channel. So they definitely do have their own official channel. But yeah, that would be awesome if they could have like some chat integration. I'm just imagining like chat all spamming commands and it's like changing something on the rocket. Probably not the best idea. But I think there's quite a few reasons to watch an event like that on YouTube over Twitch. The biggest one being like the quality options. Like NASA is definitely going to have the capability to stream at like 20 megabits if it needs to, you know, so you can get a really high quality, probably even like a 4K stream. I should have dived in and actually seen what quality options they have, but that limit on Twitch, you know, that is a bit of a bummer for something like a rover landing on Mars. Like that's a massive event. So yeah, really cool. I just thought the discrepancy between the two live streaming numbers was pretty interesting. But it wasn't the only thing that we saw Twitch do interestingly this week. Do you want to talk a little bit about BlizzCon?
Yeah, so BlizzCon, which is Blizzard's yearly conference, was online this past weekend, and we had quite a funny event during that. So, you know, every year Blizzard comes out and releases all the updates to the new games and teases all this cool new stuff that comes out for Overwatch and World of Warcraft and Hearthstone. And as part of their intro, they had Metallica come in and do this little impromptu concert to kind of hype up the event. Of course, Metallica is not a very good band to play if you have DMCA issues on your platform. So we had a really, really funny clip from the official Twitch channel who was covering this event, because, you know, theoretically, Blizzard had the right to use Metallica. They bought Metallica for the event, right? Paid them. But Twitch did not necessarily have that right to use the music. So Pete, I think, has a clip for us to look at or listen to.
I think this was too funny to try and explain without actually playing the clip back, because yeah, it's just too entertaining. So for people watching the podcast, I'll put the actual clip up, but for people listening, hopefully you can hear this too. So the first bit is Metallica playing, and the second bit is what Twitch then changed the audio to to try and avoid DMCA. So let's listen. It sounds like the music from Overwatch. From Overcooked. Have you ever played that game, like the cooking game?
I thought it was like nursery kid music. I don't even know what it is.
I'm just imagining like the panic of the person. I'll stop it now. The panic of the person like managing the live stream, just like quickly finding Twitch soundtrack or something and double clicking the first track that they see.
What's on my desktop? Oh, my kid's nursery music. Use it, quick. Whatever's around, just use it.
The funniest bit, and you kind of have to be watching the clip, so watching the podcast to see it, but is the fact that the visuals is still like this heavy metal rock band slamming their guitars, and then it's just this like nursery music in the background. I thought it was so funny and absolutely rightly so memed upon everywhere. I wanted to point out a comment, the top comment on the Twitch subreddit, which I thought was pretty interesting about this clip, which I think was the top post of the week, said, at this point, what is the point of playing music at any event over the internet? If this is what it comes to, literally no one is going to have any further reason to use it. The event tells you not to play segments. The artist's music is then muted and not heard. The platform then they use mute it. The audience then can't listen. So why even bother? I mean, that's a good point. Like, are we going to see no more, you know, live performances, you know, in the live streaming space without some really locked down contracts being signed?
Yeah, I don't know. It's such a tough situation because, I mean, it's cool for Blizzard to do this thing. I'm sure people who watched it enjoyed it, who could actually hear the event and it wasn't muted by that. So you don't want to like leave that kind of thing out where it can never happen again. You can never sign a band to come introduce your event or even just play stuff on stream. But we have to get somewhere better than we are right now, because this kind of situation, it's so funny, but like unfortunately it happened at the same time. Like Metallica was sitting there headbanging to this nursery music because you can't. It wasn't the only stream that did this, by the way. I saw other streamers were doing their own copyright music or trying to like voiceover sing for Metallica, which it's just so sad because you just can't enjoy that band for that purpose now. So either we're going to see more copyright stuff break out for this kind of thing, and developers and events and everything will have to go really the extra mile to make sure it's all copyright safe, or we'll just have to use no music, like you said, and move away from that, which I don't think will happen, but it's going to have to take a learning experience for the whole industry, I think. The other thing I wanted to mention with this is, I think from what I read, Metallica is pretty infamous for kind of causing DMCA stuff with their music. They've been known to kind of be really strict about their music, I believe. So it was kind of ironic that Blizzard chose to use them for this. Because then that's why everyone was so committed to get the music off the stream. Twitch like immediately switched to different music because you don't mess around with Metallica, apparently. They will DMCA you very quickly from what I hear. So that was kind of ironic. But yeah, I mean, this kind of thing, hopefully it's like a wake-up call to the music industry, because this can't keep happening. And for Twitch too, like they have to make sure that if an event like this happens, like BlizzCon is a big enough event that you can reach out to Blizzard ahead of time, make sure it's all vetted, and maybe that becomes the new standard process for events like this and other online performances. I don't know.
I think one takeaway for people listening and watching is, if you're, you know, a bit confused about DMCA, you're in the same boat as a massive company like Twitch now. Like, they messed up on their own live stream. So, you know, don't be too hard on yourself if you accidentally stream Cyberpunk and you haven't put it in streamer mode or something. You just get rid of the VOD. Twitch actually got rid of the VOD. I went searching for it to get that clip, and the VOD's been deleted. So they're even following this advice of, if you do mess up, just get it off the internet as quickly as possible. but I just thought this was too funny not to mention. It's such a funny thing to have happened this week. And DMCA has been such an ongoing topic, and it's kind of dragging on now, that I think I needed to laugh about it once.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to mention too is I saw a clip of XQC, and he was watching, you know, I think he was the number two channel on Twitch because he's a big Overwatch person, so people were watching him watch BlizzCon. And when this came on, he just turned up the volume of Metallica, just went louder with it. So, I mean, if you want to take the XQC approach and just play with fire, you'd be my guest. I mean, clearly it's working for him, for what he's doing. So it's just very funny, the different sides of Twitch versus their poster child XQC there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll find out what the fallout is. If Metallica really want to go hard at Twitch, maybe they probably have grounds to do so, but we'll see. A couple of other things that we saw, well, something that we like to talk about every week, really, is what we've seen in terms of the stats of games being streamed. CSGO, like we've mentioned a few times, when it has one of its like quarterly tournaments, really gets a massive bump in viewership. So that rose to the top of the ranks over the last week because there is a tournament going on right now. It's online, but it's effectively the group stage of IEM Katowice, which is a big CSGO, like I said, one of the quarterly tournaments, and it was up 43%. And you also, you saw some stuff around Valheim. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, Valheim is kind of blown up over the past couple weeks. So we talked last year about, you know, Among Us and Fall Guys really broke out as indie games kind of out of nowhere. And then, of course, the beginning of this year, Rust really blew up as a survival game that was years old, but for some reason just got really popular. So Valheim is kind of a nice marriage of those two categories where you have this indie survival game that's breaking out now and it's getting quite a lot of viewership. I think they had over 1 million purchases on Steam, if I remember correctly, and a lot of viewership on Twitch. I think it's in the top 10 games on Twitch over the past week or two. There's a lot of big streamers like Shroud playing this, and many others, I'm sure. I haven't kept up completely, but pretty cool to see. And we talked a lot about trying to see which game is going to be the one that's going to break out next, and trying to predict that has been hard. But Valheim, I think, makes a lot of sense because it is a nice blend of a new game. It's survival, kind of capitalizes on the Rust type and Minecraft even follows that category. So I think this will keep being popular for a bit if they keep making it fun to play. But just cool to see a new game break out. And of course, CSGO, like you mentioned too, also kind of always kind of the peak back every couple months or so with the tournaments and things like that. So cool to see how the shift is happening on Twitch of viewership for games and whether that will continue or kind of trend back to what it was.
So your prediction then is when we come back to these stats next week, where are we going to see Valheim then? Because we've got to put our money down here.
Yeah,
we're trying to help out the listeners with what game is going to be the next breakout game on Twitch. We think Valheim.
Valheim's hard to predict. I think Valheim will be in the top five games next week. I don't think it'll be the number one, but I think it'll be popular for the next month or so, and then slowly fall off. That's my prediction. What about you?
Yeah, I think we've categorized games in these like two buckets before. I think there's like eternally popular games that have esports side to them. These are CSGO, Valorant, League of Legends, even like Rocket League, I think you could throw in there, Dota 2. Like, they have such a big player base that they'll always have like a baseline viewership on Twitch, and there are people that just stream that game and are really good at it. And then these tournaments like peak up the viewership. And then we have these like breakout games like you mentioned with Among Us and Fall Guys and Rust. And I think Valheim probably is going to fill in that kind of category that are really entertaining to watch your favorite streamers stream, because there's like the community aspect, or there's like, you know, screwing each other over in games like Among Us. And that's just really entertaining to watch your favorite creators. So yeah, I agree with you. Let's say top five. We're going to come back to it next week. And hopefully we have predicted it right. And unless so many people listen to this podcast that they start streaming it and then it becomes saturated and people give up midweek, that's what we can blame it on when it doesn't work, okay?
That's right. Yeah, it's guaranteed to happen now. Everyone's going to go play Valheim and throw our predictions completely out the window at this point.
Good, yeah. The last thing before we get onto the viewer question was, well, this is kind of like a, for the people listening, there is a new Gaming Careers video out. I haven't pushed it out live on the day that we're recording this, because we record these on Tuesdays and the podcast obviously comes out on Wednesday, but it should be out by the time you're listening to this podcast. And I've given Ben a sneak peek. So yeah, new Gaming Careers video, which was a lot of work to create. It doesn't sound like that complicated of a topic, but I really wanted to nail the research like I do in every video and give some solid recommendations based on what kind of streamer you are. So for those of you that haven't seen it yet, please do go and watch it. Watch it all the way through to give me that juicy view time. But we're comparing three different Stream Deck alternatives, which are all mobile app based, so things you can install on your iPhone, Android phone, tablet, where you can still control various different aspects of your stream. And yeah, I've jumped into loads of detail and tried to like break them down as to who each one would be right for and like my gripes with them and things like that. But yeah, it sounded like a simple video. Once I started researching it and scripting it, it started to take longer, and then I ended up like refilming the whole video twice because I really didn't like the first take that I did. I thought it was confusing, it didn't really make that much sense for somebody watching it, so like refilmed it all. What are your thoughts? Have you used any of these apps, Ben? Have you ever Did you jump straight in and buy a physical Stream Deck, or have you actually tried out any of these mobile apps before?
So I am the rare streamer who actually, I do not own a Stream Deck. I have pretty much everything else you might need. Yeah, I do not own a Stream Deck. I've used them before, but I'm actually the mindset that if you're going to use your money, don't use it on a Stream Deck. Use it on like your camera or your mic or that kind of thing.
Wow.
I know.
Wait a second here. Wait, Benjamin Green is quoted to say that he would spend money on an SM7B before a Stream Deck. I mean, that can, you can put that on your tombstone if you want.
I know it's a rare opinion, and everyone tells me I need to get a Stream Deck. I just haven't gotten it yet. And I know they are good to have. Trust me. I have not had a chance to get it yet. I have used some of these programs, though. I've used, I think it's Streamlabs Deck is the one, where you can kind of control Streamlabs from your phone, essentially, from OBS. This was actually used specifically in a situation where we were controlling the stream. We were kind of like in a podcast situation or like a show situation. So there's a couple of us sitting like on couches and talking to each other. So, but we had to run the stream at the same time. So we had no way of controlling stuff. So I just, from my phone, like on the couch while interviewing, would change the scenes essentially on my phone. So having that like remote distance was super nice. I haven't really played around with using my phone as a Stream Deck per se in front of me while I'm streaming, just because I'm lucky enough to have a two PC setup and I just use my mouse to do it. But I don't know. For me, having the remote option is really nice if you want to do some sort of produced show of some kind and can't be right at the computer, but still want to control how your scene is going and things like that. So that's been great for me. I think I would try one of the mobile options because, honestly, same thing goes. Like, I would rather just use the phone that I have than drop $150 or $250 for the case of the XL, I think, on the Stream Deck. As great as they are, it's just easier to use what you already have. So I probably will try one of these, which, if I were to try one of these based on your video, which one do you think I should try?
I mean, at the very end of the video, I do recommend based on different categories. And I think they're all useful for different use cases. Streamlabs Deck, in my opinion, is the least appropriate for you, because I know that you're an OBS Studio user and Streamlabs Deck is locked down to just Streamlabs OBS, whereas the other two have like way more functionality when it comes to OBS Studio and for Twitch. And then, are you using an Elgato Keylight? That is the other question. Or what are you using? You are. Well, you do get that control then if you go with the Elgato's option of Stream Deck Mobile. So maybe that's the one to go for. But funnily enough that you mentioned that like wireless capability of not having to be right next to your PC. That is something I didn't even consider in my script or in my video. So that just shows how good it is to talk to somebody and get a different perspective. I never even thought about the fact that one of them is wired and one of them you can have anywhere on your desk. But I think most people are probably using these like right next to their computer, so not the biggest consideration. But please do go and watch the video, because I put my heart into making it, and you know how YouTube usually treats videos that you work really hard on, they just bury them and you stop getting views after 2 weeks, whereas the one that you did in like 2 hours ends up getting 1 million views. So I appreciate everybody watching that and waiting around for a new video from Gaming Careers. It was a lot of work, and yeah, I'm really, really happy with it, but probably harped on about it enough. I've sold it enough to the podcast listeners that they're all going to click through and watch it. So let's jump into the viewer question this week. We actually had two, and I did ask you before we came on which one you want to do, but which one do you want to do? You can just say first or second, and then I'll read it out.
Let's go with the second one. Let's do that.
Okay. All right. So we got a question on last week's podcast, and we always encourage you guys to leave questions. We'll try and get to one every single week. So let us know over on Twitter, Instagram, or in the YouTube comments with your questions. So this is from the Blocks fam, who asks, how do you feel about using an ad blocker? I get why people use it on Twitch, but let's face it, most people don't turn it off for YouTube. Is this wrong? And then I think he's addressing me in this next bit, saying, I mean, making videos on YouTube that pay you for people watching ads, but then also using an ad blocker and not supporting the ecosystem. No hate, just a question. I think it's a really good question. From my personal point of view, I do use an ad blocker for a lot of the internet, but on YouTube, I pay for YouTube Premium, so I can actually turn the ad blocker off, because the way YouTube Premium works, it's like, I think it used to be called YouTube Red, or am I making that up?
I think so.
I remember that brand being there somewhere, but effectively, that money that I pay every month to YouTube means I don't watch ads, but the creators still get the money as if you had watched an ad when you watch their content. So it splits up your like $10 a month subscription or whatever it is into like all the videos that you watch, and then the creators earn that money. So Yes, I do use an ad blocker because a lot of the internet, unfortunately, is much worse with ads on. But for YouTube creators, I make sure that I'm still supporting them through that. But it's an interesting question. And I think maybe Twitch is causing more and more people to install ad blockers. So what's your take on this, Ben?
Yeah, I think my perspective is different because I'm not a full-time, like my income is not dependent on YouTube ads and things like that. So I think it makes sense for you to use premium and things like that. So you are supporting the thing that you're doing, essentially. I use ad blockers on pretty much everything. Now, Twitch is its own beast because they're constantly combating ad blockers, and I don't currently have an ad blocker that stops that kind of thing. But on YouTube, I do. I sometimes, you know, like on my phone, I actually watch more YouTube videos probably on my phone than on desktop. So no ad blocker there. But on desktop, I use an ad blocker for most sites just because, like you said, it's always a better experience to not have ads if you can, for the most part. It also protects you from like sketchy sites and stuff. So I just leave it on. But in general, I think if you are a YouTube creator, it's a tougher dilemma if you're asking people to watch your ads, but then you're not watching ads yourself. You know, there's that double standard there. But there's also a lot of ways you can make money outside of ads now too. And a lot of channels who don't run ads, essentially, or didn't run ads until you had to run ads, and do things like the in-content ads for shout-outs and merch and things like that to just avoid that system. So I don't know. This is kind of cool to ask Pete too, because I think you're more embedded in the YouTube side per se with the ad system. So good to hear your perspective on that and the premium support there too.
Yeah, I would never criticize somebody for watching my content with an ad blocker. Like, it's absolutely fine. Like, there's many ways to support my content, and even just watching my content is enough for me. I don't need people to sit through and not skip ads or anything like that. At the end of the day, the number of people that have an ad blocker is still a small percentage when you're talking about the whole internet. Now, obviously, when you run like a techie based YouTube channel, that percentage is probably higher than, you know, if you run like a cooking channel, where people probably aren't as tech literate and installing ad blockers is a scary thing for them. But yeah, it's not a massive portion of YouTubers' income anymore. It hasn't been for a good number of years. So it's a really interesting question. And ads is something that we've obviously talked about in detail on this podcast, particularly when it comes to Twitch. But like you said, there's so many other ways now to monetize your content. And most videos that I run on the channel will have a sponsor that's actually hard written into the script of the video. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you have an ad blocker or not. And again, I would never criticize for somebody skipping 15 seconds ahead when I start my ad read. Like, that's what I do on so many YouTube videos. At the end of the day, the YouTuber really just wants you to watch and enjoy their content. And I feel exactly the same as that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of seems like at this point, a lot of YouTubers, at least experienced YouTubers, have moved on from like ads being the cornerstone of the revenue, at least have like some different revenue streams. And so people who watch ads are kind of a bonus, essentially, on top of doing reads and things like that. That's my perspective. So I'm basically curious for your side. I know you use premium, but if someone were trying to be or was a full-time YouTuber who was trying to get people to watch ads but then didn't watch ads themselves, would you look down on that kind of thing?
I mean, that's just quite hypocritical, isn't it? And I can see that's why the Blocks Fam's question is kind of worded in the way it is, because we've talked about the fact that we both have ad blockers before, and I didn't necessarily communicate the fact that I pay for YouTube premium. So it's a bit weird to ask people to watch ads and then, or not ask people, but put ads on all of your stuff and then have an ad blocker. But it's just the way that the internet is now. It's just too many websites are ruined by ads. And I think YouTube does a good job with it. So out of all the websites that you could disable it, if you do want to support creators, that's definitely something that you could do. And you know, they're all skippable now anyway. So you only have to watch 4 or 5 seconds, and there's a big enough variety that it's not like you're on Twitch and you're watching the same advert over and over again every minute. Did we talk last week, just whilst we're on adverts, about I'm looking through our notes from last week and I don't think we did, but I think Twitch added the ability for partners to run an insane amount of time of adverts. I'm going to try and dig this up whilst I'm thinking about it, but there was an update that basically meant that you could run, was it 10 minutes longer of ads in a row? Like, they added a new option for how long you could run ads for as a partner. And it doesn't even reset the like buffer of people getting an advert when they join the stream. I can see you typing. Have you managed to find anything, or do you need me to look?
I'm looking really quick. I'm not sure what to look for.
I'm gonna Google Twitch partner increased ad, what do you call it, time.
Yeah, I know we talked about
do your work
about the fact that partners will have the option to not see ads anymore. So that's good for the partners. I didn't hear they could offer more ads to viewers though. If that happened, that's pretty interesting, especially because there's already so many ads for so many viewers at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I can't find it now, so that just serves me right for trying to bring something up off the cuff, which we didn't research on the notes, but I'm sure I saw it. But anyway, yeah, there's Twitch have kind of, I think, made ads this big evil thing, and I wish that they'd implemented it a bit more like YouTube. But I do realize that it's a different platform and it's harder to do. And I wonder what YouTube are going to do in terms of live stream ads, actually, because they haven't really gone for that. I think you might get an ad before a live stream starts, or like maybe when you join a live stream, but not to the same level anyway as Twitch has seen it.
Oh, all you have to do is make it a little bit better than Twitch. Just add a skip button. That's all you got to do. And suddenly you're like this amazing ads platform compared to Twitch. So hopefully they'll do that if they decide to roll that out.
Yeah, I think that probably does it for this week. A bit of a shorter episode, but we've still probably hit around 30 minutes. So yeah, the big takeaways this week is don't play Metallica on a stream in front of hundreds of thousands of people. Make sure you check out the new Gaming Careers video, and yeah, hit us up with your questions over on Twitter or Instagram or YouTube, whichever. All of our social handles are in the show notes or in the YouTube descriptions if you're watching the video. And we'll catch you next week. Peace.
See you guys.